Today on Brave with Jeff Schwarzentraub.
Is there any institution more important than the church? There's none. No matter what you think, there's none. The church is the most important institution in the world. Therefore, the leadership in the church is essential and super important to God Almighty because He's the one that put them there.
Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Schwarzentraub, founder and lead pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his study in the book of 1 Timothy by observing what the Bible says about how to treat church leaders. We've seen throughout our series that the church is of vital importance to God and that He cares deeply about the roles and relationships within each congregation. So today, we're taking a closer look at what God specifically says about respecting our church leaders. And remember, if you've missed any part of our current series, The Kingdom Embassy, you can find and listen to these messages on your own at bravemedia.online. Right now, though, let's join Pastor Jeff as he begins part two of a message titled, How to Treat Church Leaders.
As we've been taking a look in this series in 1 Timothy, talking about God's kingdom agenda for the church and what the church should be and how the church is kingdom soil on this earth. So what happens in this place among us is what we're tasting from heaven so that we can go advance the kingdom of God from His church and how much He cares about the church. Today, what we're going to take a look at is how much He cares about His leadership in the church. Last week, we started taking a look at how to care for our family. We took a look at older men and younger men. We took a look at older women and younger women and how we're to treat them. We took a look at widows and how we're to treat them. Today, we're going to take a look at leadership and how we as a church are to treat leadership. Now, when we taught through this book in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we learned the qualifications of an elder, the integrity that needs to be with an elder. In chapter 5 here, we're going to learn how it is that we as a church need to respond or treat the leadership in the church. And here we're going to take a look at four different kinds of leaders in the local church and how we as a church are to respond to each kind of leader. And we're talking specifically this morning about leadership in the church. Now, why is this so important? Because Jesus Christ loves His church. He established His church. He died for His church. And guess who He's coming back for? He's coming back for His church. He loves His church. And He is the one who has established leaders in His church. So in His church, He has called men and gifted them in certain ways so that they will serve His church. And He takes that very seriously. And so what do we see about these first kind of leaders? Here's what I would say. In the church, I would say this. Excellent leaders should be respected and remunerated. Excellent leaders should be respected, that means honored, and remunerated, that means paid. There's too many pastors out there that are trying to labor in the word and bring the word of God to God's people, and that church doesn't honor their pastor, and that church doesn't pay for their pastor, and I'm telling you from this pulpit, that's downright sinful, and it's wrong. It's wrong. God blesses churches that bless their leadership. I have never seen a church flourish that talks bad about their leadership, ever. I have never seen a church flourish that complains about their leadership, ever. I've never seen it. But I have seen churches flourish when people in the church honor the leadership in that church. God won't bless a church when God's people are complaining and grumbling about the leadership in the church. It doesn't work. Well, if they just get that pastor out of there. No, if they got your grumbling and complaining to stop, it would help first. That's what He's saying. He says, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. Let me give you a couple other verses that you can look at this week. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, as far as appreciation or honor. He says this, but we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instructions, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. What's it saying? Appreciate your leadership. Be grateful for your leadership. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14? Paul was saying you didn't have to take advantage of this, but he was saying what a worker is worthy of. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, he says, do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar. Verse 14, so also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. How should preachers get paid? They should get paid for preaching the gospel. That's how they should get paid. Do you know why that's important? Pastor Jeff, have you never heard of bivocational pastors? Yes, I have. And if our congregation were 15 people and the average salary was, you know, $15,000 to $30,000, I get that. I'd be bivocational too. That's not the case that we have here. Sometimes even when people are generous, it requires a bivocational work. But you wouldn't want me to do bivocational work. You wouldn't want me to be casual on a Saturday night, kind of stringing something together, and then during the week giving all my labor and intensity to a different job. And you certainly wouldn't want me to be working for Amway, where I tell you, hey, after First Tuesday, we have a meeting at 8 o'clock, and I want to tell you about toilet paper, right? You want me solo focused on the Word of God, because as God's people, who do you want to hear? You come because you want to hear the Lord. So he says, honor a pastor and pay them. Now you might ask, well, how do I support a pastor? Like, what does it look like to support the elders? What does it look like to support a staff? Like, how do I do that? What would that look like? I'll give you five ways. And I'm doing these in order on purpose. The number one way you can do it is be generous. Be financially generous to the church. So what about prayer? That's coming. Number one, be financially generous to the church. Do you know why? Because if you're financially generous, you won't complain. I've been a pastor now for 11 years here. I don't look at what everybody gives. I don't check your giving records, because I don't know what's generous to you may not be so generous to someone else. I'm not trying to measure all that. But I will tell you what I do is when somebody is critical of me or my wife and my family consistently every single time I see them, I'll have one of our elders say, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you just check and see if this person gives financially to our church? Because I want to know if they just have a critical thought that we can kind of work through, if they have a critical spirit. Do you know 100% of the time I've asked that question, they come back saying they're not giving anything. They stopped giving 6 months ago. They stopped giving a year ago. You know, they've never given to your church. And I'm like, well, duh. You can't financially contribute generously and have a critical spirit. You say, well, what's generous? How about this? How about start with a tithe? That's just a minimum. That means 10% of all of your net that you bring home, just start. Just say, God, that's all yours. I'm not even going to touch that. This goes to my church. Do you know if everybody did that, we'd never have to do a fundraiser? You say, well, Pastor Jeff, we're New Testament Christians. We don't even have to tithe. You are absolutely correct. You don't. So let's talk about the law a little bit, shall we? Old Testament, do not murder. New Testament, don't even think your brother's an idiot. Old Testament, don't commit adultery. New Testament, don't even lust at somebody with your eyes that's not your spouse. Old Testament, 10%, but also the feast and festivals. And if you add it all up, somewhere around 23%. New Testament, what is it? God says, I own 100% of everything you have, and be generous to me. So tithing would be like bare minimum place to start. And oh, by the way, if you tithe, you won't ever run out, because God will see that you're generous to him. And when you're generous to him, he'll be generous to you. So be financially generous. You say, well, this is my last time at Brave. I'm never coming back. Great. When you go join your next church, make your first day the day you're going to be financially generous to that church. Wherever you go, be financially generous. Oh, by the way, just so you know, because this is a disclaimer, my salary is not based upon how much you give. It's not based upon that. It's not as if you get more and then I have ownership in the company and I have, you know, all sorts of stock options at the end of the year or something like that. We're giving generously to the things of the Lord. Amen. Number two is this. Be serving. Be faithful in your service to the Lord. It's hard to come with a humble spirit and serve in the church and then be critical of the people that are trying to help you do that better. I find it's easy to sit on the sidelines and complain. It's easy to look into another organization and have comments. That's the reason I go to Broncos games. It's good therapy for me. I can look at somebody else's organization. I can see what they're doing. I can have opinions about that because I'm not involved and I'm not invested. I remember one time a number of years ago, I was watching a football game with my high school football coach. And I remember watching this play, and it was like a 3rd-and-1. And they called the stupidest play ever. And I remember saying to my coach, I'm like, why would somebody call a stupid play like that? And he was just silent. And I got the message really clear that, hey, you're talking about a coach. I'm a coach. I understand coaching in a way you don't understand coaching, and I'll always back coaches. Let me tell you something. I'm a pastor. I love pastors. I'm for pastors because Jesus is for pastors, which means I don't have ears for you to talk bad about your last pastor. Because I know when somebody comes into Brave Church and starts talking about the last church they were in and how bad it was and what the pastor was like, I know it's only a matter of time until they're at that next church talking about me and Brave Church the same way. Friends, I don't have ears for that garbage. God hates that. He hates that. Don't talk bad about another pastor and don't ever talk bad about another church. Don't. God's Holy Spirit can do the work that you can't do. Amen? So be financially involved. Be as generous as you can. Be generous with your time and serve. Number three, be prayerful. Pray. Pray for your leadership in the church. Pray for the staff. Pray for the elders. Pray for your pastor. Say, Lord, help him understand your word in a new way. Help him bring something on Sundays that speaks directly to my heart. Lord, I'm praying for him. I'm praying for his wife. I'm praying for his kids. I'm praying for the health of his family so he can be focused on bringing us what you need. Be prayerful. How about this one? Be thankful for your pastor. Be thankful for your leadership. If you're in a church where the word of God is being heralded, where worship is taking place, where prayer is essential and evangelism is happening and people are seeking the face of the Lord and his Holy Spirit is all over the place, be thankful for that. It's rare. It doesn't happen everywhere. That's the Spirit of God working through his people. And then how about this final one? Be gracious with your words and actions towards your leadership and his family. Be gracious with your words and your actions. See, when people talk bad about my wife, it hurts me. People talk bad about my kids, it hurts me. When people talk bad about our staff, it hurts me. I'm gonna protect all those people. God says if you're in the congregation, those should be the people that feel the most loved to walk in the door. And I'm telling you, in some churches, that's just not the case. I have pastor friends that going to church on a Sunday morning takes everything they have because they know that the people that they're talking to have hatred in their eyes towards them and their families. May it never be. And again, thank you, Brave Church, because I don't feel that way about you. I don't. But you're going to have people and you're going to have friends and you're going to hear somebody sometime talk about their pastor, talk about their church. And here's what you're going to do. You're going to go, shh. Jesus loves them and he died for them and he's in charge of them and it's not our job to talk bad about them. Amen? Excellent leaders should be respected and remunerated. They should be honored and they should be paid. Second is this. Godly leaders should be protected from false accusation. Talked about the excellent leaders. Let's talk about godly leaders. They should be protected from false accusation. Notice what the word says. He says, do not receive an accusation against an elder except on the basis of two or three witnesses. In other words, when people accuse the leadership in a church, unless there's two or three people that can establish proof that this is true, don't listen to it. In other words, you can't judge other people's motives because you don't know what their motives are. You may think you do, but you don't. You can't judge other people's attitudes because you don't know what their attitude is and you can't judge based upon your perception. You can judge behavior, and which we're going to get to in a bit, but for many people in the church, they want to judge an attitude. They want to judge a motive. They want to say, well, why are we going this way? And why are we doing that? And how come we're doing this? And I don't know if I like that anymore. And how come he gets to decide? And how come we don't get to decide? Has that ever happened in church before? Let me tell you a story from the Old Testament just to clear your thinking a little bit so you'll understand. It's referred to in the Bible as Korah's rebellion. Korah came to Moses one time with two other men, Dathan and Abiram, and they came and here's what they said to Moses. This is after Moses was chosen by God to be his instrument to lead the people of Israel. Who chose Moses? God did. Did Moses want the job? Was Moses on jobs.com looking for deliverer? No, he didn't want the job. He was happy being a shepherd. God called him. Moses didn't want to go. God made him go. he goes and begins to do everything God says. So through Moses, God's going to bring plagues. Through Moses, God's going to protect the people. Through Moses, they learn how to paint blood on a door frame, signifying the spotless lamb that one day is going to come, Jesus Christ. Through Moses, they're delivered out of Egypt. Through Moses, even when the Egyptians are coming after them, Moses holds out his staff. Through Moses, God parts the Red Sea. Through Moses, God closes it. Through Moses, God provides manna. Through Moses, God provides quail. Through Moses, God provides water. It's through Moses, God is doing every good and perfect thing for the nation of Israel. Do you think they'd be happy with Moses? Well, they're not. In Numbers chapter 16, when Korah comes with his two buddies, here's what they say to him. And they rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation chosen in the assembly, men of renown. Now, let me make a point here. We just got done saying where there's not two or three witnesses, don't listen. Here's what you're going to have here. 250 witnesses. So it's not how many people you gather in rebellion. It's how true the charges are. Make sense? It's not about, well, I don't like Pastor Jeff. I'm going to get 20 people against him. It's not that. We're going to talk about what that is in a minute. So here's what they're going to do. They're going to say something to Moses. They're going to rise in rebellion. Here's what they're going to say to him. They assembled together against Moses and Aaron. Here's what they said to them. You have gone far enough, for all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. So why do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? You know what they're saying? Who put you in charge? The Spirit of God's with all of us. Do you not understand he loves all of Israel? It'd be like today. Do you not understand he loves all the church? Pastor Jeff, do you not understand the Holy Spirit dwells in all of us? Pastor Jeff, do you not understand the priesthood of believers? Pastor Jeff, do you not understand we're all the same? That's what they're saying. And here's in reality what they're saying. We don't want you to be the one to lead us. We think we're every bit as gifted as you, and we want to do that. Do you think it's going to go well for them? It's not going to go well at all. Moses and Aaron fall on their face and begin to intercede for them. Do you know why? Because when that charge comes against them, Moses and Aaron are like, oh, that's not good. God's not going to like this. He picked us. And he doesn't like it when his anointed are being messed with for no good reason. So they begin to pray. And here's what Moses said. Hey, let's gather tomorrow and see what the Lord does. You all bring your censers and you light them. We'll light ours. We'll appear at the tent of meeting. Let's just see what the Lord says and who he's for. The next day they appear at the tent of meeting, which is where the presence of the Lord was. And you know what God said? God told Moses and Aaron, stand back. I'm going to kill the whole assembly. Now, at that time, because there's certain days in ministry, if I were Moses and Aaron, I would have been like, cool. And you're God. I'm just a man. I mean, right? That's not what they do. They get on their face and intercede and they say, no, Lord, don't kill the entire congregation just because they're being rebellious. So the Lord takes them in front of the tent of the three men who have been causing problems. And here's what Moses said. If these men die a natural death, you know that God's not with me. But if the earth opens up and they are swallowed and go straight to hell right now, you will know that it's the Lord. And he was no sooner done speaking that the earth opened up and boom, they're all gone. And you know what happened? Everybody starts running around like, we got to get out of here. We're going to go down there too. And then guess what happens? At that very same moment, those same 250, God smote them, went, they all turned to charcoal. That was the end of that day. Now, if you were Israel, would you think maybe we shouldn't mess with God's anointed? But they didn't think that. So you know what? The next day, Israel woke up and like, you killed all our leaders. Now we have nobody to lead anymore. And Moses and Aaron are like, oh no, God, don't hurt them too. And a plague broke out and started killing everybody until Moses and Aaron did what they needed to do to stop the plague. On day two, 14,700 people died, not including the 250 plus the families the day before. Nearly 15,000 people died in 24 hours because they challenged God's anointed. Does God take the leadership of his church and his congregation serious? Answer is yes. When you talk bad about a pastor, when you talk bad about elders, when you talk bad about another church, you are bad-mouthing God. So stop it. That's what it means. So here's what he says. I mean, here's a verse for you. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 22. Psalm 105 verse 15. It's repeated in the scripture so you understand it means what it means. Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Now, I know the Bible well enough, and I know context well enough to know that he's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how he was faithful to them to get them into the promised land. I get all that, but I'm telling you, God still takes his leadership in his church seriously because he's the one that selected them. You might think in your heart, I would have never selected him. And here's what God would say to you. I choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Don't ever, never, ever, ever, never, never, ever, 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 ever talk bad about a church or a pastor or a group of elders. Ever. That's what the word's teaching. All right? Brings conviction, doesn't it? That's why it's been dead silent in both services when I say that. Because there's things that go off in our heart and Satan goes into our ear and like, I'm going to talk bad about him and I'm going to talk bad about my last church. Don't ever do it. God doesn't honor it. He doesn't bless it. He doesn't bless grumbling nor complaining. And here's what he says. He wants his people to be submissive to their leadership. Here's a verse for you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. You see that? Obey your leaders and submit to them. Pause for effect. How hard is that? Well, I'll do it if they go the direction I want to go. I'll do it if they're doing everything I want to do. You will never find a church in this world that does everything you want to do. You will never find a leader you agree with 100%. You won't. Well, I'm going to get in there and give them a piece of my mind. Friends, do you realize your prayer is way more powerful than your mouth? A king's heart is like channels of water in the Lord's hands. He can turn it wherever he wishes. If you spend as much time praying for leadership as you do talking about it, God would do great things. And how sobering is this? Leaders give an account for your souls. Doesn't mean I even know every one of you, but I'm held accountable to every word I'm saying from this pulpit. That's sobering. Let them do this with joy and not grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. Have you ever noticed there's certain people in your life that are a plus? Like every time you're around them, it's like, oh, so life-giving. I mean, you just kind of want to be around them again and again because every time you're around them, you don't know if they're getting anything from you, but you're just like, these people are great. And then you got the people that are kind of neutral. You know, it's good for them. It's good for you. You're not going to leave any happier or any worse. It's good. And then there's those minuses. They're kind of like a Hoover vacuum cleaner, and you see them coming down the hallway, and it's like they're coming just to suck the absolute life out of you, right? He's saying, don't be that kind of person in the congregation. Don't be the Hoover vacuum cleaner that's sucking the life out of the leadership. Be invested and serve and be generous and be supportive and be gracious and be kind and be thankful. Why? Because God doesn't want his anointed to be touched with false accusations. You say, what about the rest of the congregation? Well, the rest of the congregation, God's given us instructions in Matthew chapter 18. Like when you see another person in sin, you go point it out to them if they've wronged you. And if they repent, you've won your brother back or you've won your sister back. If they don't listen, what does he say? Take two or three people with you to establish it. Are we seeing something consistent here? We see it the same thing in the Old Testament. Establish it. Hey, we're seeing this. This is a behavior in you. If they still don't listen, take it to the church. If they still don't listen, then address it publicly. Right? But don't listen to false accusations.
You're listening to Brave with Jeff Swarzentraub in the second segment of a three-part message titled, How to Treat Church Leaders. It's from our current series in 1 Timothy called The Kingdom Embassy. And if you're just joining us or you'd like to revisit another message in the study, you can do that anytime at our website, bravemedia.online. For a more convenient option, you can listen on your phone by downloading the Brave Church app. With the app, you'll have quick, easy access to all of Pastor Jeff's messages, sermon notes, and other ministry opportunities at Brave Church. Just log into your favorite app store, search for Brave Church Denver, and download the app to your mobile device today. And if you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, link up with us there as well. We post videos, Bible verses, and important updates on all things Brave. Just log into your favorite account and search for Brave Church Denver. If you live anywhere in the Denver metro area, we'd like to invite you and your whole family to be part of our weekend services at Brave Church. Join us for worship and a new message from Pastor Jeff at either of our two campuses in Englewood and Westminster. If you're listening from elsewhere, you can still join our Sunday morning services through the live stream. You'll find all the details to attend or stream weekend services at bravemedia.online. Just go to the bottom of the homepage and click the button labeled Brave Church. And if you have a personal question or a prayer request you'd like to share, Pastor Jeff would love to hear from you. You can send us an email, hello@bravechurch.co. That's all our time for today. I'm your host, Bill Carl. Make sure you join us tomorrow for the conclusion of today's message, How to Treat Church Leaders. We're learning how to be better ambassadors for God's kingdom in our community and in our church. That's coming up next time here on Brave with Jeff Swarzentraw. Today's program was produced and furnished by Brave Church in Denver, Colorado.